to us today. Let us come back again this evening. Let us enjoy the sweet influences of the Holy Ghost. How wonderful and how glorious that is. You are aware of the fact that we're the only people on this earth that can do that. The world certainly doesn't enjoy that kind of influence, that kind of blessing. They have to get theirs out of a bottle or a needle or something like that. But I thank God for the fact that we can recognize when God is around and enjoy His blessings. Don't have any kind of hangover the next day. Amen. Life's too great to be hungover. Amen. I praise God for the privilege to be here. And I do appreciate the ladies over at Pine Grove fixing the meal for us this evening and the wonderful fellowship that we had there. I expect I won't be preaching on gluttony tonight, but I do appreciate that great meal. It's wonderful. I have to go back to the motel and sleep it off. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 2. I'm aware that this is a lengthy chapter, but I really feel like we should read it tonight. Amen. This talks about the birthplace of the church. And we shouldn't get to where we can just read this and it not affect us. The great fundamentals, principles, and so forth, a lot of them are laid down in this chapter, and I'm well aware that Acts is a transitional book, but there's some great instruction here. Acts chapter number 2, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou upon my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We trust that the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of this portion of his word. I choose this theme or this subject this evening. It's all about God. It's all about God. Jesus, being God himself and the perfect expression of God, had ascended back to glory. Now, in what way would God express himself now that Jesus had ascended? Well, we know today that he has chosen to do that through the church. That's exactly what the church is to be. God never intended the church to be an expression of itself, but it's to be an expression of God, and especially of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church, in its fashion and function, is to serve as that vehicle for the expression of God in both our services and our service. God is to be the center of attention as well as the attraction. Now, you and I know that we're living in a time when it seems that we've gotten the cart before the horse. We're living in a time when the church seems to want to major on being the attraction itself. Well, I hate to disappoint anyone, but we're not the attraction. Never have been. The church has always been meant to be that vehicle to express the Lord our God. Our Lord never has played second fiddle to the church, and he never will. No, he's the Lord. But in the day when the church has become the attraction, it'd be good to examine our roots. And so this evening, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to give you three features of the church in its earliest days that reveal to us and bring us back to that fact that it's all about God. It was then, it should be today. And the Lord would bless us if we got back to that place where we know and where we desire that this thing be all about God, all about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first thing I'd like to mention to you is it's all about God when it concerns the formation of the church. The purpose of the formation is for the expression of God. I've covered that more or less, but let me put it like this. His person is revealed by and through the church. His person is revealed through and by the church. Now we know that he was revealed upon this earth through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That perfect expression. But in our time, it's Christ in us. In our time, it is the person of God that's revealed through the church. Friend, we get away from that. We're no more than any other organization. I praise the name of God, and I do believe this with all of my heart, that there are still local assemblies that have that desire to express God to a lost and a dying world. I mean, how else are they going to know the purpose, the person of God? I realize there are a lot of ideas about God and a lot of false ideas in our day, but there's only one true God, and we're the expression of that God. I might add to that fact that his plan is revealed through and by the church. What is God's plan? Well, I read in the book of Acts that he's calling out a people for his name from among the Gentiles. I read in the Word of God that we're to carry the glorious news that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We're to waft it on the rolling tide that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That is God's plan for the church. Now I realize, and I do believe that we as God's children have the liberty to do some things as we go through this world. But we should never get away from the fact that our reason for being here is to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show this lost and dying world how there's a way to be saved, how that redemption has been made, that blood has been shed, and Jesus calls unto all how that'll come unto him. That's his plan. But what is God doing through that plan? He's showing this lost world that he loves them, that he cares, that he gave himself for them on the cross of Calvary. That's the kind of God we have. That's God's plan for this world and for the church, that we reveal him as he really is. Amen. Oh, listen, I believe in insulation, but I don't believe in isolation. It's God's plan for this world that we represent him and express him. And then I might add that his power is revealed in and through the church. This world needs to know about the power of God. And I'm well aware of the fact they can know a little about his power if they want to, through the lightning, through the thunder, through the storm, through the flood, and all of that. But God's perfect will is that his power be made known through the church of the living God. We're to be the expression of that power, there to see in our lives, as well as in the function of the church, what God can do for this world. Amen. Have we gotten away from that? Oh, but that just leads me to the second thought I want to bring to you, and that is that the presence in the formation is for the expression of God. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about the Holy Ghost who came that day of Pentecost to take up his abode in the church of the living God. I think about his presence, and his presence is for the expression of God. Let me tell you something tonight. The Holy Ghost isn't someone that I can choose to
to use as I want to use. Oh, no. Some seem to give that expression in our day. Let me say, he's just as much God as the rest of the Godhead. And he's here. And he took up his abode that the church might express God out of this lost and dying world. You think about it now. Think about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've slightly covered this, but I might say that he has formed a new body for the expression of God. We know there was a time that he expressed himself in various ways. The Hebrew writers told us he's spoken various times and in sundry manners and so forth. And he's also revealed himself in various ways. But listen, I want to tell you something about it. He sent the Holy Ghost to this world to form a new body for his expression. You talk about a solemn and a sacred calling that we have. I'm talking about the God of this universe and the kind of God this world needs to know about. God has chosen the church how to express what he is as well as who he is. Oh, that's the thing behind the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is what it is. I mean, he sent the Holy Ghost, baptized those members into one body. Amen. I don't know your beliefs, but I want to tell you something about this. I believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what he did in uniting the body, making it one, and we're partakers of that today at the moment we get saved by God's grace. I really don't think it's a second work of grace on down the road somewhere or another. No. But I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost came to form that new body, to mold it together, to make it one. How that God's church would express him in this world. But then I'll add something to that. He has fathered a new birth for the expression of God. We're brought into that body through regeneration, through the new birth, through the baptism of the Spirit of God. And I'm not equating all three of those terms that I just used. I'm just talking about the doorway. How you get in by the new birth. And that's how you get into the body. That's how you become a member of the body of Christ, is by the new birth. But why does God save people today? Why did he regenerate you? Why did he bring you out of the bondage of sin and give you a new life? It's that through you God might express himself to a lost and dying world. And if there ever was an hour that the world needed a witness and need to know what God is really like, it's the day that we're living in. There are so many representations. I might add false representations of God in our day. I mean, there's religion on every corner. You know that. And they're saying this about God. And they're saying that about God. And I believe probably we're in the minority tonight. But I'll tell you, we still have a voice. And if God has saved you, he saved you so this world could know who he's like. Amen. To know what he's like. That's the kind of Christians we ought to be. That's what the new birth is all about. He could have saved us and took us to heaven that very second. But he left us here, yes, as witnesses. But what is a witness for? And who are we to witness unto? How are we to let this world know that the kind of God we serve is worth serving and worth loving as we go through here? Amen. Oh. Not just the work of the Holy Spirit, but the ways of the Holy Spirit. That is the expression of his authority as well as his actions on that day of Pentecost were both designed to draw attention to God. What he was doing there was to draw attention to God. Now, naturally in doing so, it's going to gather people. But he gathered the people together through the phenomenon of that day to let them know what this was all about and that God was on his throne. Jesus Christ had ascended back to heaven. He died. He rose again. He ascended. He sat down. And right there, that day is evidence of it. But what's God doing on the day of Pentecost through and by the Holy Spirit? Well, he was showing who he is. And I say the phenomenon produced by the Spirit is just God expressing himself Now, I want to be careful here because I realize this is camp meeting, different churches, and we all have our little differences. But there's a lot of things I don't agree with in our day that are being blamed on the Holy Ghost. Amen. I will say this. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. A lot going on in our day. And I have people come up to me talk about. I had a fella come up to me just the other day, a fella Baptist in our county, and we had a funeral together. And he came up to me and he said, "Boy, you know what happened last Sunday at the church?" I said, "No, I don't have any idea. I sort of figured what might be coming." And he said, "We had a fella to die in the altar, and God raised him up." I said, "Well, glory to God. I mean, what are you going to say?" He said, "The Holy Ghost was so strong around there that he died." Said he actually died. And I forget how many minutes he was dead. Now, friend, listen to me. Listen to me. I am well aware of the fact that the Holy Ghost can still do phenomenal things. And he does. But we're living in a time when people are so wrapped up in signs and wonders that they feel like they gotta try to make a God bigger than he is, which is impossible. I want to tell you something. The main thing that happened on the day of Pentecost, how was that 3,000 souls got jerked out of darkness into God's light and brought into the kingdom of God. And you still won't have any greater phenomena than that today. We're living in a time when, and I'm well aware of the fact, and I don't know all the reasons. I don't know where to put all the fault. But we're not seeing a whole lot of that old time moving of the Holy Ghost like I was raised in. And I understand that. And I don't know where to put all the blame. And some of us preachers feel like that if something big isn't happening, we've got to make it happen. Hey, let me tell you, folks that aren't preachers, and aren't pastors, let me tell you a secret. You ever been around a liar's club? Well, run up on a gang of preachers on Monday morning. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, they get to talking, and one says, "Well, did you have a good day yesterday?" "Oh, Lord, yeah, you wouldn't believe it." And what happened was some little granny waved her handkerchief a little bit, and they bloated into God blowing through and just an almighty tornado. Why do we do that? Because we're wanting something to happen so badly. We want to see it happen. We want God to do phenomenal things. I learned a long time ago in my ministry, and I've been at it over 40 years, and I learned a long time ago, if God doesn't do it, I can't do it. And if God doesn't do it, nobody else can do it. I just let God be God and do exactly what he wants to do. And it'll be well, whether it's a little breeze or whether heaven settles down for a while. Just let God be God. God and do as he desires to do. But whatever God does, he's expressing himself. Why, a lot of old-fashioned Baptists are so wrapped up today in a racket that they don't know God when he really does move. Now, I'm not opposed to a racket. I make my share of it. I'll guarantee you that. I think we ought to do more praising, more shouting, and glorifying God than what we're doing today. But I want it to be of God. I have a hunger in my soul for God to touch my heart and God to move my spirit again for his glory and for his praise. But I'll tell you, when it happened on the day of Pentecost, they well understood that it was all about God and the power provided by the Spirit on that day, not just the phenomenon. But the power provided by the Spirit that day, just for folks to know that he's God. We beg God for power. We ask God for power. And I really believe that we wouldn't have to do as much begging if we just get where we need to be and surrender ourselves to God like we ought to be surrendered. We wouldn't have to worry about begging God for power. He'll send the power. Amen. He'll send the power, that's for sure. But the power provided that day, and it was a wonderful thing, the power, how it operated on that day. But it wasn't to make the church look good. It wasn't to make Brother Peter or John look good. No, it wasn't to make Jerusalem look good. A brother's an expression of God. And I believe when we desire God's power, that God may be known, and that folks may realize what kind of God we have, I believe we'll have the power. I really do. Well, it's all about God concerning the formation of the church. Secondly, it's all about God concerning the function of the church. The motive of the church should be to express God to man, whether in work or worship. This should be our desire that God might be seen. There again, we probably need to get back to our roots. Now, I'm not here for a fault-finding week, not at all. Not at all, but I'm just, you know, been in this thing and I've seen things change over the years. And like I said, I don't know where I'd altogether place any blame. We can place it on the church. We can place it on the spirit of the age. We can place it on the world and all of those. I probably deserve their share of the guilt. But this I do know, we do need to get back to where we desire and where we have as the motive of the church to express God. Thank God for fellowship. But I want to tell you, there's something greater than fellowship. And that is letting this lost world know what kind of God we have as we go through here. Amen. Oh, I believe the saints 50 years ago. I was a young man then. But I believe the saints of God then had more so that as a desire. Is that folks know what kind of God. That was the motive of the church. Seems like we've lost that somewhat in our day. Let's get it back. Let's have that as our motive. No matter what else how we may be engaged in, thank God for missions and missions programs. Thank God for, as I said, our times of fellowship. Thank God for our get-togethers. Thank God for our camp meetings and all of that. That's all wonderful. Don't have a thing against that. But oh, to have the motive at the bottom of it. We gather together and express our God and for God to express himself through us. But then again, the ministry of the church should be to express God to man. I mean, that should be the point in all our plans and practice. This should be the priority of all our programs and progress, is to express God. Whether we're singing, whether we're just sitting and listening to the Word of God, I want to tell you something, whether we're engaged in some kind of ministry, it ought to be for the expression of God through us. Our lives ought to be open to that. As a matter of fact, our lives ought to be surrendered to that very fact, that God might express himself through me. And brother, when you get to that place, you might be surprised at just how God can do that. We live in a day when, especially here in the United States, we have narrowed things down, narrowed the meaning of things down and the understanding of things down. And we think that the only way that we can be a witness is to, you know, load up with tracts, and I'm certainly not against that. Got plenty of tracts myself. But the only way we can do is meet together on a Tuesday or a Saturday evening and go out and knock on doors. I have nothing against that. I praise that if you're doing it. But I want to tell you, that is only a very slim part of what it means to be a witness for God. I really believe being a witness is God operating through you as he so desires. Now, there are people sitting here this very night, I guarantee you, that you don't, you're just unable, and I'm not faulting you at all. No, I'm trying to help you. But there are people probably sitting here tonight that are saved by God's grace and love God, but you have a hard time walking up to a perfect stranger and witnessing to them. You say, yes, preacher, that's me. I know, that's me too. That's me too. I admire and almost envy those people that can just walk up to anybody and go to witness. I do. But I'm not like that. And I've really had a problem with that down through time until God showed me, listen, yield yourself to me. I can witness through you in more ways than you can ever think of. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God for that. Listen to me. In all of our practice, in all of our living, if we're open to God, God will express himself through us. I believe that, don't you? I believe that. Wonderful ways that God can use us. And then I believe the message of the church should be an expression of God to man. On the day of Pentecost, Peter expounded the word of God. And did you know that we cannot express God any other way? What I'm saying is, except through the word of God. If it be the word of God through my lips, or if it be the word of God fleshed out through my life, that's how God ordained this thing. And it does involve the word of God. That's why that we're to bring our lives into communion with the word. And the word of God is to abide in us richly. The word of God is to be fleshed out, lived out through us. Because that's how God expresses himself. Friend, you can't untie God and his word. Amen. You can't do it. You can't do it. No, no, no. Paul stated, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first and also unto the Greek." Peter expounded the word of God. And in doing that, God was expressing himself. You and I who are here tonight who are preachers, God has called us into the ministry. He didn't call us to make us look good. He didn't call us to make a name for ourselves. He didn't call us to be popular. Oh, no, no, no. He called us so that he might express himself unto his people in order that they might be edified and, brother, that souls might be saved. That's why I'm here tonight. And I'll be honest with you. I love you. I've already fell in love with you, already appreciate you. But when I leave here tonight, I don't give one flip about what you think about what I preached. God laid it down on me this morning and said, go at it tonight. I'm trying my best to go at it. And God, I believe, will express himself through those who offer themselves to him. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Peter expounded the word. And then Peter exalted the Son of God. Expounded the word of God. Exalted the Son of God. Now you say, well, preacher, tell us a little bit about that. Well, I'm so glad you asked. Listen, in Christ, the work of God's love for man is expressed. We exalt the Son of God, and in him, the work of God's love for man is expressed. You say, the work of God's love? Why, sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But that's the work of God's love. He gave his Son. His Son came and died at the cross of Calvary. When we lift up our voice, folks ought to know that. The way we live our lives, folks ought to know that Jesus saves by his marvelous grace. That's what folks ought to be seeing in our day. I want to tell you something. Now listen to me. I've already said I wasn't here to find fault. Maybe I am. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. My mama helped me on this. God bless her soul. She slipped on out to glory last year. But listen to me. Some folks from their church every year, and it's my home church, every year they go up to Washington to march. It's getting quiet now, isn't it? And some of you might do that, and I'm not kicking that at all, but I do want to make a point. My mother was old-fashioned, brother. You didn't get any more old-fashioned than her. And she was grumbling about it, you know. Old women like to grumble. And she'd grumble to me after Daddy died. Daddy died back in 90, and she'd call me. I was the preacher boy in the family. Why do they want to go up here to Washington? And I said, well, Mama, they're, you know, trying to change some minds or something. And they'd go on the week. I reckon they march a certain week, maybe against abortion. I believe that's when they win. And certainly I'm opposed to abortion, and she is too, or was. But she said, well, it'd be a whole lot better off the way I see it if they'd just get together, pray all week. That's pretty good, isn't it? Probably accomplish a whole lot more. Save a whole lot on the gas bill. But you can't get folks together how to pray for a week today. Listen to me. The work of God's love. We're not going to change the world that way. I'll be honest with you. I'm not opposed to that. But that's not going to change the world. Listen, it's the love of God manifested through our hearts and our lives. The work of Calvary that changes the hearts of people. And I really believe probably more would have been accomplished if they'd have just met together and fasted and prayed all week for the President of the United States. I feel sure he needs our prayers. But in Christ, the work of God's love for man is expressed. In Christ, the warmth of God's love for man is expressed. I want to tell you something. God doesn't just love this world. He really loves this world. I'll tell you something else. He doesn't just really love this world, brother. He really, really loves this world. And I could just go on a heaping up those adjectives and adverbs and all of that. But I'll tell you one thing. God loves this world so much that he gave his son to die for. And he gave his church here to let the world know that God really, really loves this world. We're to express the warmth of God's love. Why, the way some Christians are, they look like they were born on Blue Monday and laid in the old crock pot too long and they've soured. They've soured so much it's like flies. My neighbor used to make homebrew. Any of you old timers know what homebrew is? Yeah, I knew some of you's here like that. And he'd make homebrew and I'd go down to his house and he'd have that, that dishcloth or whatever tied over the top of that old crock, 5-gallon crock. And it's summertime and old flies just cover that thing up. And I didn't have sense enough to know, the flies weren't actually getting to it. But he'd have it right beside the door. You walk up on the back porch and, man, you can smell that stuff coming. And I said, and he's going to drink that. And he did, honest to goodness. He'd drink that stuff, and he'd work just as hard as he could work for sometimes a year, sometimes a year and a half, and didn't get drunk. But he'd tell you, he said, I'm going to tie one on. And he would for about 2 or 3 months. His wife, after the first couple of weeks, she'd leave. I'll tell you this, it's humorous, but, we'll get back to the message in a minute. But he would, he'd be laying down there, and his buddies, they'd get sick of him, and they'd leave. He had a wooden leg. He'd take his wooden leg off, have them to hide it so he wouldn't try to drive while he was drunk. All of his buddies had run off and left him. And I heard him hollering one day, and he's hollering my name. And I took off down the ridge there a good ways to his house. And I walked in, and I said, Euless, what's going on? Well, everybody's left me, and I've laid here now for 2 or 3 days, hadn't had anybody to talk to. And, of course, he was trying to sober up. And you know, when you tie one on like that, it takes a case of beer or more just to sober up. And I said, Euless, and he had a new house. He's a carpenter, and he'd built him a new house. And I said, what are those holes in the ceiling? And he said, I was laying here with my pistol and didn't have anything better to do, so I've been shooting at those flies. Now listen, that's pathetic, isn't it? We get a laugh out of his actions, but a man like that is pathetic. After God called me to preach, I went back and tried to witness to him. And he said, you don't need to try to tell me about God. He said, listen. He said, from what I've heard about God, he said, if he was to take one of my children, I'd run out in the yard, point my finger to heaven, and give him the awfulest cussing he's ever had. Don't try to tell me about God. But folks like that need to know just what kind of God we have. Need to know the warmth of his love. Then again, in Christ, the welcome of God's love for man is expressed. That's what Peter was standing up preaching about that day. Oh, he said, men and brethren, you did take him and crucify him. But he says, I want you to understand that didn't stop him from loving you. That didn't stop him from wanting you. That didn't stop him from me standing up here today as his representing him and welcoming you that'll ask him. those that'll call upon his name. He said he will welcome them. You know, we shouldn't have one group of individuals in mind today. There should be a welcome out to every old lost, undone sinner. I know it makes no difference what they are. Where I pastor, I've had drug pushers, some of the biggest drug pushers in the county, saved by God's grace. I'm glad they could feel when they came to the house of God that there was a welcome, not just by the church, but a welcome by God himself, and that God was expressed in a way that they could get saved by his marvelous grace. It's all about God, all about God. And in a day when everything's passed off for preaching, let's exalt the Son of God by expounding the Word of God, for neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one other point I want to make, and I'll try to be brief. But thirdly, it's all about God concerning the fellowship of the church. And here we see the unity of the Spirit manifested in their belief and their behavior. For one thing, God was expressed in the fundamentals of their fellowship. And we've read of that in verses 41 and 42. They were baptized and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, those things that we do, including the ordinances, but all the things that God has ordained for us to do. Why do we do that? Well, at least in part, it's an expression of God. When you get baptized, you get saved, and following that, you get baptized. What are you saying? What are you doing? You're expressing the fact that God raised you out of the deadness of sin and brought you into newness of life. It's an expression of God. I mean, even in a baptismal service, folks ought to understand what that's all about. I fear a lot of them don't today. But I'll tell you one thing, it ought to be an expression of God and God's wonderful love and God's wonderful power and his grace. But oh, think about that. In the fundamentals, when they took the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, and following in the apostles' doctrine, why do we do those things? To let this world know about our God and what kind of God he is. And then I might add that God was expressed in the function of their fellowship. It carried, for one thing, the mark of charity. I read to you in verses 44 and 45 that they were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Oh, you think about that. This was not the nature of men. And those Jews around Jerusalem very well knew, because of their own hardness of heart, that that was not the nature of man. And it's still not the nature of man to give away what they have. But God makes a difference in us, doesn't he? I heard of a preacher the other day. What's that preacher's name down in Georgia? Preaches all over the country. I can't think of his name right now. Tom Gillen. And I heard Brother Tom say on one occasion, or maybe I heard it through a pastor friend, but he said, I gave myself out of debt. Now you think about that. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I got in a fix, couldn't help it, but got in a fix. And so I decided that the only way I was going to ever have enough to get out of debt was give away what I had. And he said, I actually gave myself out of debt. You'll get a hold of that after a while. But that's the way this early church was, the mark of charity. And that's not natural to man. And you know, they need to see that today. The world needs to see that God's people are filled with love. You know, one of the things different in our day and back in my boyhood days is folks really did actually love one another in those days. Now we've got so many things going on. We've got so much to do. If we don't have anything to do, there's our favorite television program and all of that. You know, I can remember a time. Now, some of you young people aren't going to believe me, but I can remember a time when on the evenings that the neighbors would come up and sit out on the porch with my parents, and the children would come and they'd play together. You hardly ever see anybody sitting out on the front porch anymore. If they are, they're usually by themselves. Isn't that sad? But these people loved one another so much that they went to the extent of selling what they had so they could contribute to help the poor. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I'm just simply saying that's an expression of God. God was expressing himself through them, through their love. And then there was the mark of continuance, because verse 42 says they continued steadfastly. And then verse 46, and they continuing daily. Oh, think about that. And you read a little further and you find their fellowship continued though they were opposed by persecution. He said, well, we'll just destroy that crowd. We'll just get rid of them. But it didn't work, did it? No. Because God was expressing himself through them. Let me tell you something. You want to know how to keep your church safe? Let God express himself through it, and he'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Oh, yes, that's exactly what happened. Now, I am not expressing God to a lost world if every little thing knocks me out of fellowship with the brethren. And there are folks like that. I've had them around my place. The least little thing happened, they'll pout and fume. And before long, they'll say, well, preacher, we're going, we feel led of the Lord to leave. And I say, hogwash, you know that ain't of God. God saved you here, put you in this church, and trying to preach to you. The church is being edified. Folks are being saved. And you tell me God's moving you. Where are you going on the mission field? Well, we don't know where we're going, but God just led us to leave. In other words, I said, he turns you out, just leading you out on the highway and letting you go. No, I don't believe that for a second. No, no, no. I'm saying, my friend, ought to have that mark of continuance, because you know and I know that if God saves, we're always saved. Why not continue walking with God? I was going to tell you something. If God's expressing himself through your life, there's going to be continuance. There's going to be continuance. And then there was the mark of cheerfulness, because I read in verse 46, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And verse 47 says, praising God, praising God. Now, as I said, we limit and narrow things in our day. We think the only way that God can show himself through us or express himself is through praise. No, I've tried to show you several ways he can do it, but that is one of the ways. And that is one of the ways that I really enjoy, is when God's people are open to praise him and glorify his name. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, don't you like that? I liked what little bit I felt there while this brother was singing a while ago. You folks getting stirred a little bit and sounding off. Boy, I like that. I praise God for that. Used to be down at Myrtle, Mississippi, and Dr. Ray would say, she's about to white cap. I like it when it white caps. Amen. I like for God to express himself, and I like to see lives that are yielded where God can express himself. I want to give you a personal illustration, and I'm done. Right after God called me to preach, my pastor, Brother Buren Hastings, preached a message on asking God for a shout. It didn't bother me at all. I just went home thinking, good message, you know, great message. But about 6 months later, I came home, and I was working at the time, and I came home, and later on that night, got ready, laid down in bed, and as soon as my head hit the pillow, the Holy Ghost said, when are you going to ask God for a shout? And I thought to myself, I'm not. I told you last night how backwards and shy and awkward I've been all my life. And I thought, I'm not going to ask God for a shout. Lord, you got all you're going to get when you call me to preach. The next night when I lay down, didn't bother me all day long. But the next night, as soon as I lay down, when you're going to ask God for a shout? And it kept me awake a while that night. Didn't even think about it, honest to goodness, didn't think about it the next day. But as soon as I pillowed my head that next night, there it was again. When are you going to ask
me for a shout. And I laid there and I rolled and I tumbled. And I couldn't go to sleep. Till finally, I slipped out of bed, walked across the hall, knocked on my mom and dad's door. Thank God for godly parents. They said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Let me in." And I went in. And I said, "You remember about 6 months ago that message Brother Buren preached about asking God for a shout?" They said, "Yeah, we remember that." And I said, "Well, get out of bed and pray with me, because I'm going to have to ask God for a shout." And they did. Well, I went to bed, went to sleep like a baby, didn't think that would ever actuate. But on Sunday morning, and again, I was not thinking about it, Brother Buren preached to lost people that day, gave an invitation to lost people. But when he was giving the invitation, God began to move on my heart, said, "When are you going to shout for me?" I said, "Lord, I asked you for a shout. You didn't tell me I'd have to use it." But he was moving on my heart, and I tried to argue. I said, "Lord, this is an invitation to lost people." And God says, "I want you to shout." And I tried everything to take my mind off of that. And I was standing looking, you know, at the stained glass window as though I could see through it. Brother Buren just interrupted the singing. And he said, "You know, you need to do what God wants you to do, whatever it is." He said, "Some people will stand and try to look out the window to keep from doing what God wants them to do." I couldn't take it any longer. I shouted all over the place. And I'm saying that I didn't, not saying that for my praise. I'm just simply saying, friend, that we need to be cheerful in this thing. Need to be cheerful, need to let God express himself in praise. Hey, what kind of God are you representing to this world? What kind of job is the church doing today of letting the world know he's a great God and he gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory that'll bubble out of us every now and then? Amen. You say, "Preacher, have you shouted since then?" Ever since then. Amen. Ever since then. God was expressed also in the fruit of their fellowship. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, there's this, we've made full circle. We're right back to where we started. God wants to save people. They need to see what kind of God we serve. Amen. It's all about God. It's all about God. Let's get back to that. By the grace of God, let's get back to that. Amen. You've been a wonderful audience. I've preached too long, but I appreciate your attention. And I hope that God has imparted something that might be a help to you, brother. The service is yours.